Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I cannot believe this headline on Deadline. The Surreal Life, VH1 brings back classic reality series. I was like, eh, whatever, who cares? The Surreal Life, old hat, we don't need another one. And then I scrolled down and I read this. The series will feature Dennis Rodman, August Alsina, Stormy Daniels, Tamar Braxton, Frankie Muniz, Kim Coles, CJ Perry, and Manny Mua living together and competing in a series of challenges.
I mean, that's a lineup. You can't deny that lineup. The thing about The Surreal Life is that the reason why it was surreal was because of the time that it existed in. Like, there's nothing surreal about this anymore because we now have had, like, many iterations of this type
We're
of
used
reality
to this.
Programming. Yeah, like, it was surreal because VH1 and Viacom properties were all, like, testing the limits of, like, what a celebrity meant. Like, celebrity was, like,
and what reality meant, yeah.
Yeah, like, and who these people were and what types of celebrities they were, and, like, they were infamous celebrities, like, in that way.
How long can we stretch this piece of nostalgia cheese, you know?
But even, like, what happens when we put people in a house and the only thing they have in common is a very specific type of fleeting fame. Like, not even that they need therapy or it's Big Brother. Like, it is kind of Big Brother, but it's not, there's no, like, game aesthetic to it. It's just, oh, this is so surreal. Like, why is Tamar Braxton in a house with Stormy Daniels, you know, for no other reason? And so this is, like, it's all about the casting, and they've really got it. Each of these people, it's like, will be surreal to see them, you know, in a house.
It feels surreal to see them all listed in the same paragraph together.
Right, right, right. And, like, half these people, I'm surprised they would even do a show like this in this weird way.
I thought Frankie Muniz was all about olive oil, and I didn't think August Alsina would want to be in front of a camera again for the rest of his life. So,
right,
like,
and I thought Tamar Braxton had decided that as well, to, like, yeah, move right on from this, you know?
Dennis but Rodman, I get. Stormy Daniels, I get.
Right. Wow. I mean, it's going to be that. It's like one of those things where I'm like, snooze until I saw that lineup. It's like, you know, if they can get that type of cast, I guess relaunch it, you know?
What do I have to watch this on if it's VH1? Is that Peacock or is that Paramount Plus?
It could be anything, but it's probably Paramount Plus.
They got to release Paramount Minus for this.
Oh my God. No, you haven't seen Paramount Plus lineup. It's pretty much Paramount Minus. They don't need to release a separate place for it. I pay for Paramount Plus right now because I'm watching Love Island CBS, and it's just the easiest way to do it. And I have to tell you, it's an embarrassing situation because, like, what's on Paramount Plus? Like, Drag Race, Love Island, and then, like, Evil? I'm always like, what's on this?
Everyone loves Evil. iCarly. We did an ad for iCarly. Apparently, iCarly's the reason to do it.
It is. Right, it's on there.
We've been told iCarly is a good reason to get Paramount Plus.
You're just scrolling through and you're like, what's here? You know, like, okay, you know,
a quiet
you do
place
better.
Too, right, a quiet place. I've heard Evil's amazing. I don't know. Oh, you loved Evil? The Stand. The Stand's on Paramount Plus. You were the only
right
person in the world who watched The Stand.
I did.
And told
I did
everyone
not
to watch The Stand.
But I did.
And then
not
you'd,
watch
always
it on
say,
Paramount Plus.
You'd always say, it's on Paramount Plus.
Only on Paramount Plus.
The last thing I want to do before beginning this episode, which is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns, is just play this 1 second.
There's something wrong with this bitch.
There's something wrong with this bitch.
Lindsay and I are seeing old tonight, and I cannot wait to find out why they're getting old, and it's the only thing I can think about.
I do feel like it is a treat to see a movie that I am excited about, if only because there's been no hype, no reviews, no information, no nothing, just a trailer that's weird starring Vicky Creeps. Like, it is one of those rare things where it just feels like, where did this come from? I know zero information. And I don't, you know what I mean? There's no hype for this thing.
M. Night Shyamalan is nothing if not like a reliably weird filmmaker at this point. Like, I feel like I will get my money's worth by going to see Old. I have to know what's wrong with the beach.
There's something wrong. What's funny is like, there is something wrong with this beach is the plot of Old.
There's something wrong with this beach.
There's something wrong with this beach. Anyways, I'm so excited to figure out what's wrong with the beach.
It's also like
the minute you learn what's wrong with the beach, the movie like should end.
Right. That might be how it works. That might be how it works. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Let's just move on to comments.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I was just listening to Tuesday's episode and the Amazon Live segment. And I just wanted to let everyone know that I've been sleeping on Portia Williams Pampered by Portia sheets for over a year now. And they're the best sheets I've ever owned. So don't buy them on Amazon. Buy them from Portia's website. But I highly recommend. Grateful for Sharna.
Oh my God, Portia's sheets, they're a hit.
They're a hit. I went to her website, it's pamperedbyportia.com, and it says Pampered by Portia, luxurious feel, sheet set, and then it's a photo of Portia laying in bed, and then the tagline is, there's no such thing as too luxurious.
I would never sell sheets.
Why not?
Because sheets are so rarely good. Like, sheets are hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I would make bad sheets. Like, it's likely that you would make bad sheets. It's so nice to hear that Portia makes good sheets.
I'm trying to see like what the sheets are made of because I feel like that's kind of crucial. That's the crucial detail, you know, like that's
probably
all I
Pascal
care about.
Pascal or whatever. What's it called? Pacal?
Pascal? Persil?
Persil. Probably Pascal.
Persil. It's like P-E-R. I've never said it out loud now that I'm saying
Me
it.
Me neither.
P-E-R-C-A-L-E. Persil.
Yeah. It's like a word that only has been associated with sheets in my mind. Like nothing else.
Oh, they're microfiber. Pampered by Portia sheets are made from a super soft, double-brushed microfiber, so it is not measured in thread count, as a traditional cotton set would be.
Okay,
but the
babe.
Comfort and soft touch of Pampered by Portia most similarly feels like 1,800 thread count. It's like,
okay,
sure.
You can't tell me that it's not measured in thread count. How else am I supposed... Another thing.
Because it's microfiber.
Sheets, thread count. You like. It's almost like it's another thing that only sheets do. Only sheets measure in thread count.
If I had sheets, they would exclusively be linen. I only care about linen sheets
me
at
too.
This point in my life.
Oh,
that's it.
Me too. Me
that's
too.
It. No better way to spend money than on bed and bed adjacent materials. You can get a good deal on linen sheets. Believe me. We've had
you
a good deal
of
linen sheets on our show.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I love that she's like, I don't even deal with the normal way that people define sheets, you know?
Cotton, we're doing something new here.
Yeah. Thread count? No.
But if I have to speak your language, the number is 1,800. Okay, next call.
Hi, Weekly. I just want to confirm that Ashley Benson does call herself Benzo. Back when Pretty Little Liars was on and she and Shay Mitchell were trying to sell their friendship everywhere, they would refer to themselves as Butta Benzo. I don't know why Shay Mitchell was Butta, and I don't know why Ashley Benson was Benzo, but that's it. All right, crunch, crunch.
You sent me this really cursed image of Benzo on the Ellen show, where right. Ellen asked if she could call her Benzo. What did Ashley say?
So people call you Benzo. Shall I call you Benzo?
You can call me Benzo.
All right. That's what everyone calls you, right?
That is. I don't know how that came about, but in the last couple of years, people just started calling me Benzo or Benson, and then Benzo was the name.
All right. Benzo is the name-o.
Benzo is the name-o.
I can't believe Ellen got like as much money as she did for saying things like Benzo is the name-o so rudely.
It's hard to tell when Ellen's tone went from maybe I care about this to disdainful for the rest of her career. You know what I mean? Like 100% in full disdain. It's like that definitely did a turn in like 2012 or something, right?
I don't remember the year. 2012, 2013 sounds kind of, you know, bang on. But I was visiting my family and I was home. And my mom was watching Ellen, and I watched a full episode of Ellen for the first time in, you know, a decade. I don't know. And I could not believe how big of an asshole she was. And I was like, is she always like this? And my mom was like, what do you mean? I was like, this is nuts.
Well, it is kind of like watching old David Letterman interviews, which I think at the time I never, I never noticed the tone, but then the tone is a little bit darker than I think you realize. The mm-hmm. the questions and the attitude and the answers are very much like, I don't know, Dave Letterman was also kind of an asshole.
He was an asshole. He was an asshole. Next call.
Danica McKellar commented on Sharna Burgess's recent Instagram post for Brian Austin Green's birthday. Happy birthday, Brian. Been a long time. Sharna is, all caps, the best. Heart, smile, emoji. Crunch, crunch.
God, everybody is grateful for Sharna.
Everyone's grateful for Sharna.
Truly. Being grateful for Sharna is literally the mindset of every celebrity.
It's been a long time.
Like, been a long time, like he's really old, or it's been a long time since she's seen Brian Austin Green?
I think she's seen Brian Austin Green. Their friendship kind of makes sense. Danica McKellar, star of the Wonder Years and every Hallmark movie in the past 12 years.
And, like, didn't she Dance with the Stars? And isn't Sharna that related? I swear to God, I still don't really know who Sharna is, but I am grateful for her, you know?
Sharna is the best.
Grateful for Sharna.
The best. People love Sharna. I don't know where this woman came from, why everyone suddenly loves Sharna Burgess, but you know what?
Everybody's talking about Sharna.
Next call.
Hey guys, long time. I was just listening to the Tuesday show, and you guys were talking about Prive Revo and that sunglasses brand. And so I worked at Sunglass Hut in college for a long time, so I know way too much about designer sunglasses. And basically the reason why they're all stupid expensive is because they're all owned by one company called Exotica. That, like, they own Ray-Ban, they own Oakley, like, they own a ton of fashion brands. And a couple years ago, they merged with the biggest French eyewear company called Essilor. And basically now, they own every brand ever, and they can control all the prices, and it's a huge monopoly. So that's why, like, yeah, the celebrities are all wearing glasses that are, you know, $200, $300. But they don't have to. Like, the materials in a Prive Revo are, like, basically the same as a Ray-Ban, and the Prive Revo are $40. So, like, if you're someone who wants to wear a fun new pair of sunglasses like every other week, like, do that, because there's no need to buy a Ray-Ban brand because they're going to break just as easily. So fun, not all that interesting sunglass knowledge. Okay, crunch, crunch, guys.
Oh my God, an expert from the hut. An expert from the hut, live from the hut.
Live from the hut, it's this hooligan.
I thought this was going to be like a negative about the glasses, but it actually was like a positive about the glasses. Because the way that you wrote it out, you said they're the cheapest glasses ever. But I thought you meant someone was going to call and be like, these glasses are pieces of shit, they're cheap. But this person was just like, they're cheap. Like, you should just, every glasses, sunglasses are always cheap. And these are like cheaper in price. So you should just like buy these. Don't buy expensive sunglasses.
My dumbass, I knew that there was this one brand. I feel like I read something on like Vox or something about how this one sunglass brand owns everything,
just
or
owns
one eyeglass
all of them.
Brand. Because it's like they own all these eyewear brands and they go from luxury to very like everyday, like normal brands, whatever you call those. But they also own all these retail stores. So when I'm looking at their Wikipedia, it says Luxottica Retail has about 9,100 retail locations. Okay. But that includes Sunglass Hut, Spectacle Hut, Lens Crafters, Pearl Vision, Ray-Ban, Target Optical, Oakley stores. It truly is a monopoly. I feel like in like a true sense of the word.
Right.
Let's move on to questions. How about that?
Let's move on to questions.
Hi, Who Weekly. Hillary Duff just posted in her Instagram stories that she's her new baby, May, is in a baby class with the babies of Mandy Moore, Meghan Trainor, Ashley Tisdale, and a couple other people. Like, I think they're just like literally random normal people. How would you rank them, those four ladies? Who to them? Thanks, crunch, crunch. Grateful for Sharna.
I am not ranking these babies.
I'm looking at this. Hillary Duff, Mandy Moore, Ashley Tisdale, Meghan Trainor. Hillary Duff's on top. Mandy Moore's on top. Hillary Duff's right below where Ashley Tisdale, Meghan Trainor are identical. I'm sorry. They are identical. That's
the
ranking.
No. Meghan Trainor edges out Ashley Tisdale by a mile. Meghan Trainor has like an active, successful music career. Ashley Tisdale is like, I don't even know.
Ashley Tisdale has been dining out on her nostalgia for so long. Guess what? She's still full.
Meghan Trainor is on the charts. Ashley Tisdale is on the YouTube. I'm like, I'm telling you, different.
Will you point at the chart that Meghan Trainor is on and send me a pic of it? Because
Meghan
I don't see.
Meghan Trainor.
Where is this chart?
Actively makes music. Ashley Tisdale actively makes YouTube videos. Like, I'm sorry. Get out of here.
Get out of here. I do want to get out of here after looking at this, like, what they call a drum circle. It's just like, I just can't deal with the way
they all have the
out.
Same age baby where the baby doesn't move. So they just put all the babies on their backs and they just kind of wiggle around. It's cute. Mm-hmm. Got to socialize your baby.
It's socializing and it's also like mommy socializing time. Anyway, these photos are everywhere. And we got so many calls about this. And I think it's because people follow all of these women. I think they follow because all of these women were
posting
the same photos.
And they saw it like 12 times.
They saw it over and over and over again.
I mean, also the other thing is like, what are we, you call about this and it's like, what are we supposed to say? You know, like these are some of these topics that I really don't understand. Where like, I get that people call and tell us that like, oh, these babies are all like hanging out. And it's like, okay. Like, I don't know what I have to contribute.
I felt the exact same way, Lindsay, which is why the reason I play this instead of skipping it as I normally would have is because we have an extra layer here, which is that Hilary Duff released a custom spatula at Williams-Sonoma.
Oh, I love the custom spatula game.
I love when Williams-Sonoma works with, I think it's No Kid Hungry. And they have celebrities come in, usually, historically, they bring in celebrities who are food adjacent and they say, hey, design a spatula. We'll make a billion of them and sell them.
I probably already said this, but it reminds me of when I was younger and they had those kits where you would draw on like a piece of paper, or like you would draw like a painting or like color something and mm-hmm. they'd make it into like a plate, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked about this because yeah. I drew a picture of my Tuck Everlasting yeah. book. And it ended up on a plate in our family for like a decade, you know? I loved it apparently so much that I drew the book onto a plate. But this yeah. reminds me of that, like, because they literally make them draw it. Like, just because you're a good cook doesn't mean you're a good artist. So you have like a lot of these like spatulas look like shit.
And just because you have a spatula at Williams-Sonoma doesn't mean you even cook, which I think is the more shocking thing to me. So they've seen, in the past, they had like Ina Garten did one, you know?
Yeah.
Now they have, I pulled out the list. We have Brian Hart Hoffman, Gabby Dalkin, Kevin Curry, Derek Cuff, Tamron Hall, Bobby Flay, Hilary Duff, Tabitha Brown, Molly Yeh. Okay?
Okay.
How many of those people are actually known for cooking? About 70%. The three who aren't are right. Derek Cuff, absolutely not. Tamron Hall, absolutely not. And Hilary Duff, absolutely not. I'm sorry, those people are not cooking people. Why are they designing spatulas? I don't want them on my spatulas.
Don't buy their spatulas then.
Well, here's the problem. The only one I want is the only one that's sold out. The Tabitha Brown one is sold out. All the other ones are available. All of them.
God, she cannot do wrong. She's got a memoir coming out too.
It's called Feeding the Soul, parentheses, honestly, it's my business. Finding our way to love, joy, and freedom. Tabitha Brown. Like, this is not a cooking book. This is an inspirational book. This is Tabitha Brown, the inspirational speaker coming out to play. This is what it is.
Her religious stuff kind of puts her on another level in terms of, like, what I think her output will be for a book
and motivation.
Or something like that. It's motivational. It's inspirational.
She's a motivational speaker at this point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I honestly think that we've said this before, but the more and more I think about this, the more I think that she wants to like sort of veer away from food. Anyway, the other people here, we've got Brian Hart Hoffman, who is the founder of a magazine called Bake From Scratch.
But I like his drawings.
His are great. It's croissants. It's crescents. Yeah. Croissants. But they're croissants.
Croissant.
And then Kevin Curry, who has that blog Fit Men Cook. And his is a watermelon with a bite taken out of it. It's cute. It's actually
quite cute. It's cute.
Derek Cuff's is ugliest sin, I would say. It's just squiggles. And listen to this.
He's starting a Vegas residency. Did you know that?
Doing what?
He dances. Derek Cuff dances. You know that.
What do you do when you fall?
When you fall? Like literally
fall?
Everybody's
fallen, right?
On stage?
Yeah.
Actually, funny story, my very first experience on Dancing with the Stars, it was the second episode. I was dancing with Jenny Garth and live on television in front of 20 million viewers at that time. I fell. I dropped her. I dropped my partner, which is like worst nightmare scenario situation. So after that, I was like, you know what? Nothing can get worse than this.
You get up and keep dancing?
Keep dancing. You got to keep moving, keep going.
Then you have Tamron Hall. We know who Tamron Hall is. No food. Then you have Gabby Dalkin, who has that blog, What's Gabby Cooking? Hers is cute. It has pizza on it. Bobby Flay drew a cat. We know who Bobby Flay is. He's the cheater, allegedly.
Wow.
Then there's Hilary Duff. She doesn't do food. She just drew, like, it looks like sand art. Tabitha Brown drew, like, her from behind, thinking, like, so, like that. And then Molly Yeh, who is another food blogger and cookbook author. Derek Cuff. I was like, does Derek Cuff associate himself with food in any way? And I found a video called What We Eat in a Day with him and his girlfriend. Guess what you think? You'll be right, by the way. Guess what you think? I think there are about five meals in there. Guess
smoothie.
What two of them are? Got it.
Smoothie. Salad.
Got it. Can you guess what he eat? The two things that he eats slash drinks before that?
Water.
Okay, what's in the water?
Smart water.
What's in the water?
Electrolytes. Chlorophyll.
Right when he wakes up, he has water that has this
celery.
In it.
Celery.
That's one of them. He makes celery juice, but before the celery juice, he has water with...
lemon.
Hot water with lemon. Then he has celery juice. Then he has a smoothie. Great. Then he has a salad. Then guess Great. What? They end Great. The day with chicken breasts. I'm just like, who gives a shit? Like...
can you imagine that cooking book? You'd be like, what the fuck?
That, I mean, I've said this in the podcast before, but that's the whole thing about like getting ripped that drives me crazy, because all you eat are chicken breasts. I'm just like, right. Get me out of here.
Right. That's true.
I love this tweet from Paula Forbes, who's a food writer. She wrote a great Austin cookbook, actually. And she responded us, rude to pick the Duff sister that doesn't even have a cookbook.
Because Hailey like, Duff has a cookbook.
Hailey Duff is actually known for cooking.
I mean, okay, that's a stretch, but she has a cookbook.
You know Hailey Duff as an actress and singer-songwriter who makes up one half of Hollywood's coolest sister duos. Aww. And now she's taking her talents to the kitchen with the release of her new cookbook.
Lindsay, what Quince did you get when we got some Quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said... you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to, washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Hello. Just got really bad heartburn. So Jordan Firstman's birthday party. I guess was a super spreader event. Marina has tested positive after attending. Lots of pop girlies were there. Dua Lipa, Charlie XCX, Kim Petras, Tovlo, Phoebe Bridgers, and Caroline Polachek were all also at the party. I don't know. I find this kind of funny because, mostly, honestly, because I find Jordan Firstman so fucking annoying and unfunny. With all due respect. But yeah, I don't know. This is funny to me. Okay. Goodbye. Crunch, crunch.
I love that he got Harpen for releasing the rudest call. It's like he warned, his body warned him.
I hate this person.
Here comes the bile. And then like he just like spit. It's like, I don't like Jordan Firstman. I don't mind Jordan Firstman. I have to say, I'm like... you know, like, first of all, his thing is he's one of those quarantine famous front-facing comedian, front-facing camera comedians.
He did front-facing comedy, yeah. He did front-facing comedy. He was already a writer. He was already writing for Search
Party. But I would call him, like, a contemporary of Z-Way, you know, in terms of the way, it's like the types of people that popped up that were doing stuff on, like, Instagram that got really kind of, like, known, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
For that.
Did you know, speaking of Z-Way, did you see that Demi ripped off Z-Way's aesthetic for their new talk show? I was like,
are you kidding?
Did you see the poster?
The pink. No, I didn't. It just
looks floofy, the bubbly. I was like, come on, Demi. Boring. Anyway, weird side note.
He wrote for a Search Party, so we kind of have to stand, because Search Party is a perfect show. So, like, I don't know. That's how I feel. And also, the kind of thing about Jordan Firstman is, however you feel about him, as a Who, he had the themiest pop girly party of the season. I mean, who wasn't at this birthday party, which is what's kind of funny. The only person who wasn't at this party was Rita Ora, which is even funnier to me.
Well, Rita Ora and Dua Lipa allegedly don't get along anymore, do they? But anyway, Jordan Firstman had a birthday party. The thing about this is, like, I've seen the response to this sort of run the gamut. There are people who are just sort of, like, responding to this as though, like, oh, wow, breakthrough infections are real. This is scary, which is totally legitimate. And then there's also, like, wow, Jordan Firstman hosted a super spreader party. That's really funny. Also legitimate because it is. And also, Jordan Firstman is a villain for hosting this party where all the girlies got sick. But I'm sort of like, I feel like this is, not to get all PSA, I feel like this is just going to happen now. Like, oops, this is how vaccinations work. None of these people are super sick, thank God, because they were vaccinated. Like, this is the risk you take now going out into the world. You could get sick. We know someone who got sick. They can't smell or taste. Fortunately, they're fine.
COVID aside, when I saw this party, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, this is like a huge party. I'm like kind of jealous, you know? Like, it almost felt like this party that was like accessible, but not. And it had like all playlist on there, you know? So of pop girls.
And the thing about Jordan Firstman, he does, as like the famous friend, there's always one, like every era of culture, like has the number one, like famous friend, the guy who's friends with everyone, the person who's friends with everyone. And right now, Jordan Firstman is that person.
I mean, he proved it. If you're going to prove it, that you're the guy who's friends with everyone, then like, this is the proof.
Derek Blasberg, who? Honestly, Jordan Firstman, who as well?
He pulled Dua, Charlie, Kim Petras, Tove Lo, Phoebe Bridgers, Caroline Polachek, Christine and the Queens. Like, Jesus.
I gotta say, it's probably really hard to get Christine and the Queens out of the house. So, like, much respect to him. Much respect to Jordan for, like, getting Christine, like, to the party. Because I bet Christine's the one where it's like, come on, no, you don't have to stay forever. Just come, it'll be fun. Like, just say
Why
hi.
Why are you putting this on Christine and the Queens? Maybe she's really fun. Is this just this is just your fanfic?
That's my fanfic. My fanfic is that she's sort of a homebody.
It's just funny.
This is how Marina revealed that they got COVID. Hey, everyone, I got COVID last week, as did five of my friends, okay? So now it's sort of like, which five? And also, are there more now? Just want to say, be careful out there. Breakthrough cases are more common than are being reported. The main job of this vaccine is to prevent serious illness or death. I'm so glad and grateful I have it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be feeling okay in day six. However, it doesn't make the mild version of COVID any less unpleasant. It sucks. I definitely had a false sense of security indoors, so I wanted to give you all a heads up. Marina, P.S. Get vaxxed as soon as you're offered it.
Maybe Jordan Firstman's birthday party was really his attempt at bringing awareness to breakthrough COVID.
Maybe. You know what, Lindsay? Maybe. I gotta say, this is a great place to be on the snarkiest forums and message boards in existence, because you'll get comments like this.
God.
Marina and the Delta variant struck down by the curse of Dua Travalipa.
I forgot that Dua Travalipa was like traveling, that people were like mad at her for traveling.
She behaved very irresponsibly throughout the pandemic.
I know.
Dua was everywhere except Jordan Firstman's house during the pandemic. And the moment she goes to Jordan Firstman's house, everyone has COVID.
I mean, I'm just calling her Dua Travalipa is like just...
I mean, Marina and the Delta variant is also hysterical.
I can't.
Anyway, I hope everyone is okay. It is one of those things where it like feels weird to laugh at, but also I kind of assume that everyone's vaccinated. Like, I feel like we would know that would have been leaked if the people involved were not vaccinated.
I mean, I hope so too. I hope so too. And I hope that I honestly hope that if you weren't vaccinated, you wouldn't go to a party because you would know better. And that's like the choice you make, is to not be vaccinated. You shouldn't be going to a party. Like, that's the problem, right? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And if anyone there is unvaccinated, like, I wouldn't be going to parties. You know, I wouldn't be going to see old in theaters. I wouldn't be going to anything.
Mm-hmm. I wore my KN95 when I saw a show last night. I went to the theater yesterday.
I
wore my KN95. I'm a little worried. I saw, because Lindsay, the show that Lindsay had been telling me to see for years, actually, at this point, I finally saw. Get on Your Knees.
Years.
Jacqueline Novak was amazing.
It's hard to recommend that show now because it's closing so soon, but I will say she's doing a run of shows in San Francisco, and if you live in San Francisco, you have to go see Jacqueline Novak, Get Off Your Knees, Get On Your Knees?
Get On Your Knees.
Get On Your Knees. It is one of the finest. It's certainly the best one-woman show I've ever seen in my whole life. But it is better than that, because I actually don't really love the genre of one people shows that often.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is great.
It is one of the best shows that I've ever seen in my theater loving life.
And I gotta say, there's a photo of like Phoebe Bridgers posing next to a bottle of poppers, and it's like maybe not the best place to do poppers.
Okay, well, I mean,
everyone's just, like sniffing the same air really dramatically around each other.
You're already there. It's like you're already like, you know. Yes.
This comment on this message board, it says, update, Caroline Polachek has since confirmed in a tweet that she is safe.
Thank God. Thank God. She has a new good song. Have you heard it? Bunny is a Rider.
I heard it. Great. It's really good.
Love her.
It's really good. Where is it?
I just love that the guest list for this show, for this party, was like a very specific Spotify playlist.
Daily Mix 4 was at a super spreader event.
4? This is my Daily Mix 2. This is
My Daily Mix 2
all went to a party without me? That's fucked up.
Wait, actually, let
where
me
was
see.
My invite?
Let me actually see which Daily Mix they are right now. My Daily Mix 4 is the pop girlies. My Daily Mix 3 is country. My Daily Mix 2 is instrumental. My Daily Mix 1. Why doesn't it show Daily Mix 1? Wait, made for one. Bobby? It starts with 2. Why does it start with 2? Oh, Daily Mix 1. Oh, Indie. Lori McKenna, Rostam, The Magnetic Fields. Phoebe Bridges is in here. Stars and Phoebe Bridges are in here. So she's in Daily Mix 1.
Okay, my Daily Mix 3 is Rihanna, Tinashe, Doja Cat. My Daily Mix 2 is Phoebe Bridgers, Sufjan Stevens, Lucy Dacus. My Daily Mix 1, Charlie XCX, Marina and the Diamonds. It's 1.
Wow. Daily Mixes 1 and 2 were exposed to the Delta variant at Jordan Christmas
birthday
party.
Not my Daily Mix. Pretty funny, actually. All right.
Everyone's okay. I'm just happy that we're in a place where, like, this can happen and we're not worried for their safety.
I feel
an immense sense of, like, and I'm being very serious, like, I feel really good about stuff like this because it's like, oh, wow, these people are actually behaving responsibly. And this is what happens. Like, this is the new version of risk.
And you know Rita Ora from afar is pissed because her party only had like 25
well, she broke
people
the rules.
In it, and she got in trouble, and people got COVID there too.
But isn't that? But that's like what's so interesting about this. It's like, look how far we've come. Where it's like back,
I know,
you know, 8-10 months ago, we were like, do not come together. There is no vaccine.
I know
this is unsafe. And look what happens. There were super spreader events where people got really, really sick.
Rita Ora's super spreader birthday is fully cancelable. We do not stand. And we don't care who is there. We don't care.
We don't care. We're pissed.
We don't care.
It's like, you know what? This is the risk you take now when you go outside.
I said, oh, I'm so glad the girlies had fun responsibly in a way.
Right. And if, guess what? If you get invited to a thing that's indoors in the near future and you say, I don't really want to go, I'm afraid of like breakthrough infection, that's fine.
If you don't want to party with my Daily Mix 1, then you don't have to.
Totally fine. Next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Are you guys finally going to talk about Alexandra Daddario now that she's on that show White Lotus that everyone really likes? Okay, crunch crunch. Bye-bye. Love you.
Alexandra Daddario is, like, great in the new HBO show, The White Lotus. I don't know what to make of this. This sounds like a spawn call. I swear to God it's not. I literally paused the first episode because I was like, wait, she's a good actress. I know who she is now. Good for her. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Hi, Bobby Lindsay. I'm watching The White Lotus on HBO Max or HBO, I don't even know anymore. And Alexandra Daddario's in it, and I think she's, like, maybe good. Like, is this her chance to become a them finally? Would love to hear from you. Thanks, Crunch Crunch.
The White Lotus is so good.
It's so good so far. We're definitely going to talk about it on This Is Not a Westworld podcast, which is an exclusive to our Patreon at length. Mm. We love the stars. We love Jennifer
Steve
Coolidge.
Zahn. Jennifer
we
Coolidge.
We love Steve Zahn. We
oh, Connie Britton. It's also fun to see Natasha Rothwell from Insecure kind of do like not straight comedy. She's so good.
The girl from Euphoria, so good.
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney.
What's his name? Jake Lacey. And that creepy kid who's in everything now. Fred Heschinger?
Oh, yeah, he's from freaking Woman in the Window.
And the Fear Street.
And Fear Street.
Murray
right.
Bartlett.
He's in everything.
Who
creepy
was
kid.
Dom in Looking, also great.
oh my God, I just put that together. He's great.
He's dumb. Yeah, he's great.
And obviously written and directed by one of our faves, Mike White, who, by the way, just read the profile on him in The New Yorker yesterday on the train. And what incredible a profile that is.
Incredible. First of all, just incredible.
Love the details he gives about projects he's working on, projects he has worked on. He's a real freaking legend. He tells a story where he was on Survivor and Amazing Race. And I guess when he was on Survivor, he was at somebody's house.
It was Courtney Cox's house.
Courtney Cox's house, who seems to really be the center of a hub for a lot of celebrities. The more she comes up, it's like Courtney Cox loves to throw a party and invite like A-list to D-list, you know, like she really runs the gamut. Anyways, and he was at this party at Courtney Cox's and he was telling everyone how he was going on The Amazing Race with his dad.
And he was like, I don't really like parties.
And he saw Jennifer Aniston was there and he saw Jennifer Aniston go, why? Like her face was like, why?
Yeah. She gave a face like, why the fuck?
Oh, he's really protect Mike White at all costs.
I know. Did we miss anyone?
No, I don't think we missed anyone in that cast. It's a really standout cast. Just a great cast. And I think we got every single person. Bye.
We got everyone. Next call.
Hey, guys. So I'm a South Asian American, parents from India and Nepal. So I was recently shown this music video, Jason Derulo, and I'm like, okay, new Jason Derulo song, and I see it's called Jalebi Baby, which I'm pretty sure Jalebi is a who for Americans. I know you guys know, like, samosas and chicken tikka masala or whatever, but I don't think most American white people know what Jalebi is, and I don't think so. Yeah, it's definitely a who, but I just was kind of like, this is random, Jalebi Baby, like, cool. but then it's featuring this guy named Tesher. And, I mean, I like to pride myself that I'm pretty well-versed with the brown people that have made it over to the United States. But I don't know who Tesher is. And for the record, we're not happy about Priyanka Chopra being our representation. I just want to make that very clear. Anyways, but... yeah, who's Tesher? Good form, Bellathorn.
This is another fascinating tale of Jason Derulo hopping on an already viral TikTok song.
The story of this song is so much wilder than I realized because I hadn't even heard the song.
It's like the story of pop music as it stands in 2021. Is like you could trace the way that music works based on this one song's history, you know?
Existing pop superstar Justin Bieber releases a terrible song, like capital T, capital E, capital every letter, terrible song called Yummy, right? The worst song in existence. I hate the song Yummy.
It is very bad.
So bad.
It is very bad. And it doesn't even really grow on you. And I tried, and it doesn't.
It's
Yummy's
a nightmare song.
Yeah. Yes.
Tesher releases a remix of the song.
Wait, before you do this, who is Tesher? Tesher is a Canadian. Maybe that's why you don't know about him.
Yeah, the caller mentioned being pretty well versed in people who made it to the United States, but Tesher is Canadian. Tesher is also his stage name. His real name, his given name, is Hitesh Sharma.
Right, and he's interesting because his father was a videographer and he would go to weddings and like functions, like Indian parties and weddings and stuff like that, and film them, mm-hmm. and he would go with his father to them, and that's why he got into Punjabi music.
Yeah, there's this profile of him that I found on a website, Man's World India, and it kind of like summarizes his background really well, really quickly. He says, my dad is involved in the community. He decided to do videography for all these events. That eventually branched out to people asking him if he provided DJ services. His reply was, no, I don't, but my 11-year-old son really likes computers and music. And he goes, that's how I started DJing. And then it says, Tesher used to keep himself updated with all the new Bollywood songs to play at the functions, but when he wasn't DJing or looking for new Bollywood music, he spent his time listening to hip-hop. Somewhere in the middle of it all, he decided to fuse the two together. So now we have the background. Okay, so what does he fuse together? He fuses together Justin Bieber's terrible, 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 terrible song, Yummy, with a song from a movie called Double Damal, and the song is called Jalebi Bai. I'm going to play a clip of that song here.
And jalebi is a type of dessert. I hadn't heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it either.
It's, I guess they take flour and they put it into like a gorgeous shape, like a pretzel, and then with
it's
sugar, funnel cake-y. And then they deep fry it. It's more of a snack though than funnel cake. Like it's more crunchy.
It's cookie
more
size. Like,
it's more like handleable. So yeah, so he makes this, he takes Yummy, which is that Justin Bieber song, and makes it about this yummy, sweet snack. Yeah, you got that.
So then, after this version of the song comes out and goes viral on TikTok, he releases a full-length version called Jalebi Baby, which strips out the Justin Bieber of it all.
Right. He wrote his own new verses and a new hook and made it half English, half Punjabi to make it, like, international in a way. Smart, mm-hmm. Very smart.
And then it sounds like this. Light it up, I'm living every day like it's Diwali. Young Tesha, young Shah Rukh, I'm at every party. And you got what I want, it's Sony, yeah. This version of the song goes even more viral, and then guess who fucking sees it? None other than Mr. TikTok himself, Jason Derulo. And he calls this guy up, because this is not Tesha's first time at the TikTok rodeo. He's already gone viral before, like not as viral as this one, for another song that he wrote called Young Shah Rukh. So it's like, he does this, and Jason Derulo saw something in him. He was like, this guy has potential.
And then Jason Derulo, whose like thing literally is trolling TikTok for songs to jump on, jumps on this song.
So that's one correction I want to make, caller. It's not featuring Tesha. Tesha's the lead artist. Jason Derulo is the featured artist. But it's now bigger than ever. So you're sort of like, we're in this place where I'm like rolling my eyes at Jason Derulo once again inserting himself into the narrative.
But
at the same time, he's truly lifting this who up. And like, yes, Tesha is still a who, but like he's getting more press than ever. Like this song had already gone viral on TikTok. The song was already an internet phenomenon, but it didn't truly like bubble up into like broader pop culture until Jason Derulo.
Because Jason Derulo was like on the Tay Show performing it with Tesha. I mean, he's mm-hmm. not, what's kind of like nice about it, to give him a little credit, he's not just saying like, let me cover your song and like take it away yeah. from you. He's like, let's do this together. And also that keeps like the authenticity of the song intact. So mm-hmm. he really like is very smartly doing this. It's also the kind of song that is like a seamless jump for Jason Derulo, because he's so genreless that he can kind of do anything. You know, mm-hmm. he's so bland that he literally can do anything
yes.
I, in terms of genre. Like it wouldn't surprise me is what I'm saying. Not that I'm saying he can do it well, but he just can do anything.
I was listening to an interview with Tesha talking about like the song lyrics, and he goes through, it's not on Genius, it was on something else, and he was talking about the subtext, and he was like breaking down all of the lyrics to Jalebi Baby. And at one point he says this, let me find it.
Baby, let me see it, jalebi, baby. I just want to eat it, jalebi, baby. Baby, let me see it, jalebi. I know the things that you like. I know this is a lyric explained video, but I think it's actually best that the chorus is just interpreted by the audience however you'd like. For me personally, this song is not about jalebis. When I say, baby, let me see it, I just want to eat it, I'm not talking about jalebis. And I'll leave it at that.
No kidding.
We get it, man.
I do like that it's what it is it's the sound of the word jalebi, the way you pronounce it, and how that rhymes with baby. The fact that you can rhyme jalebi with baby is literally the song and like what he was inspired by.
It is music in 2021. It's everything combined yeah. to turn into like this new singular thing. So it's like, yes, these are all the influences. Yes, these are all the inspirations, but Jalebi Baby is still its own fucking thing.
Also, I'm sorry, if you are a musician and you hear Justin Bieber's Yummy and you hear, girl, you got that yummy, 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 and this is the chorus, you also would be like, what the fuck? I could do better than that. Like,
exactly.
This song is trash.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's literally the chorus is, girl, you got that yummy, 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 yummy. Like, wow. I mean, the music is a little bit more creative, but like, wow, what a song. Anyways, I just think like, I'm not surprised. It's like you look at that song and you're like, I could do that. Like, let me try. And it could make it interesting, or a little bit more interesting at least, you know?
And he did it. Like, and now he's signed to like a label. God bless Jason Derulo. Let's end with Who Are Them, okay? Let's end with Who Are Them. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy. Especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Some streaming service, I don't know which one, is like putting out previews for Being John Malkovich. And I was wondering if John Malkovich is a who or a them. Thanks, crunch, crunch.
John Malkovich, who or them? 1, 2, 3, them.
Them?
And I think he would fall under the line of character actor who, if not for Being John Malkovich. I think that's the movie that made him go from the whole point of that movie is that he was a character actor no one knew, you know, like that he was just this random guy, you know, random character actor that was in everything and famous, but not super famous. And that movie made his name more famous and important.
Yeah. And now I think he's one of those thems that can, like, if he headlines like a Shakespeare festival or if he plays like Hamlet, you know, whatever, he's too old to play Hamlet. But you know what I mean? Like, he, like, sorry, that was so rude.
Didn't what's his name just play Hamlet now?
Who?
Old guy, the old gay guy, Ian McKellen. He's literally playing Hamlet right now.
Okay, well, he's too old to play Hamlet. Hamlet's supposed to be younger. He's supposed to be...
But that's the whole point of this one. It's like, I'm going to be the old guy doing old Hamlet. Like, before I die.
I'm just saying, that was just rude. And then I, like, doubled back on how... I didn't mean that to be rude. I'm just saying, like, if he was... He could, like... If a theater company was doing... He's the star power in, like, a production like that. But I also feel like he also could headline... He also could lead a movie, too.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Quick question. Is Tim Robbins or Tim Robinson more famous? And are either one of them coots?
I think that Tim Robbins is definitely them here. I think that you just don't beat the Shawshank Redemption. You know,
I mean, Tim, like, Robbins is also, he's with Susan Sarandon. He's in like an A-list like celebrity couple. Well,
they've been broken up for a really long time. But I think that The Shawshank Redemption is like still one of like the top movies that people love. So, you know, you don't beat that. That's kind of all you need, you know?
I think Tim Robbins is more famous than Tim Robinson. On any level, even if you don't like, I think you should leave. Even but however you feel about it. It's like Tim Robinson was like... on what, a few seasons of SNL, and now he's got like kind of a indie comedy career via like Netflix. I mean, I think he's big, but I'm just like, he's not even on one of those Netflix shows that people are like quote unquote talking about. It's like very much like a niche audience.
Yeah, so it's Tim Robbins. It's Tim Robbins. Okay,
is next... Tim Robbins a them though?
1, 2, 3, them?
Maybe.
I think so. Mm. I think that Shawshank is enough.
You think 90s Shawshank
Tim
is
Robbins?
Enough?
I think that's enough.
Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I'm sitting with some writer friends. We're all writers, and we really appreciated your coverage of Terrence Hayes because he is like such a literary them, but he's a who in like the real world, which was a real revelation for us. And so we were talking about other literary thems, and we were wondering what it takes for a literary them to become a them, and does Sally Rooney count? Has she moved from literary them-dom to them-dom? In that same vein, is Celeste Ng a literary them of Little Fires Everywhere? And I think that's all of your questions. We love you so much. And me and Grief. Okay, bye.
Sally Rooney, 1, 2, 3. Who?
Okay.
And I think Little Fires Everywhere is definitely, like, it's really hard to get like book sale numbers, so this is all speculation. I do think Little Fires Everywhere have probably sold way more copies than any Sally Rooney book, as big as Sally Rooney books are. Both Normal People and Little Fires Everywhere were Hulu shows, but only one of them was super A-listy. I feel like more people actually talked about Normal People. Little Fires Everywhere was Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. You know, like, it was definitely them year of the two, but I think it's hard for these, like, literary writers to cross into them-dom unless they've, like, released a bunch of books. Like, I feel like it takes a while, even if your books are huge. And yeah, even Sally Rooney has released a few books, but I feel like it wasn't until Normal People that they were, like, really hyped. So I feel like once Celeste Ng releases more, like, once she's established as, like, oh, the new Celeste Ng that's coming out after, like, her fifth or sixth book, maybe. But I just think that there are really, really few literary thems.
But even then, it's like, who are, like, writer thems? It's like Stephen King, you know, it's like J.K. Rowling, unfortunately. It's like, you know, it is these writers who've crossed into that celebrity category in that, like, kind of way, you know?
Dead writers aside, like, classical literature aside, even like early 20th century literature aside, I think to be like a contemporary them writer, you need to be prolific. You have to have a lot of stuff.
Well, it's also just like the idea that like a author does not have to be alive to be like significant in culture as an author, because books are just like forever and like you don't have to really. So it's like Jane Austen, you know, like is in the same realm as, you know, Sally Rooney, even though Sally Rooney is contemporary and Jane Austen is not. Like, it's just, it is one of those fields that's just a little bit different, because books come and go in a way that like film and TV doesn't. Maybe like the equivalent would be like Friends coming back on streaming and all of a sudden like people care about like Matthew Perry again, right? Like that's the same thing as if like somebody made a Pride and Prejudice remake movie and it was huge and then people were like, Jane Austen, we're talking about Jane Austen, you know? Like, it is one of those things where I feel like in books it happens more, because trends in books can happen for no rhyme or reason in more of a way.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking about like big books in the past few years, and it's like The Vanishing Half, probably the biggest book of last year, the biggest like novel of last year. I don't think Britt Bennett's a them. No, she's released two hits. I don't think she's a them. She's a literary them. It truly is. It's like Stephen King and like Ellen Hildebrandt, you know, like James Patterson, the people who just are constantly churning out these books.
But you also have to play the game of being kind of an author. You also have to like play the game, right? You also have to kind of like be this personality in a way, be this brand, or else your book will be louder than you, which I think a lot of authors prefer. Yeah. Britt Bennett might prefer that her books are louder than her like personal brand or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only success that a book writer really wants is the opportunity to get another book.
Right.
So like they don't give a shit half the time.
Yeah. I just don't. I don't think that there are that many literary thems, especially ones who are alive and working. Like, the literary thems are dead, honey. Like,
also, people don't read. It sucks.
Right. And like even just because you're on a bestseller doesn't mean you sold a million. Like, it's not like you sold a million copies. Like,
well, that's the other trick.
That's the other trick.
Like, list is kind of a farce. But yeah, I mean, it's like
people don't read books. It's just hard to be a them outside of an industry that isn't that big to begin with.
Right. But that's why like Little Fires Everywhere, the Hulu show, kind of reflects back so big on the book, because it's such a big, even though that book was big, the show is always going to be bigger.
Right. That reminds me of this like story I read in the middle of the pandemic, and they were talking about how like, yeah, this is a great year for publishing. People are buying a lot of books this year, but they're buying like, they're all buying the same books. It's not like they're trying new writers. They're buying like To Kill a Mockingbird. They're buying like, you know, like, what's the huge book from a few years ago? Where the Crawdads Sing. They're buying the same book. So it's not like there are even that many contemporary thems to choose from. And speaking of Where the Crawdads Sing, can you name who wrote that?
What's her name?
I don't even know. And I've read that book and I couldn't tell you. Where the Crawdads... Okay. Delia Owens.
No idea.
That's a who. Sorry, you've sold like 100 million copies of this book and no one knows your name.
It's, you know, authors are more behind... writers can be more behind the scenes. Unless yeah. they're not, you know, like.
Unless they're not. Unless they're not.
Okay. But it's very easy for them to remain. That's why literary who's are. That's why literary who's a conversation that you're having with your friends is tough.
Yeah.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I was just discussing with my wife, M. Night Shyamalan. We both agree for us as a millennial and then an older millennial. I'm the younger millennial and she's older. She's 84 and I'm 91. But we both agree that he's a them. But we also think that he's kind of on the line and that for the younger generation, he might be a who. Yeah, so we'd love to hear your thoughts. Hashtag grateful for Sharna. Hashtag women belong in balloons. Crunch, crunch.
Wow, an 84-year-old and a 91-year-old calling in. Love to hear it.
I thought that's how old they were. And I was
I know. I'm
wow, our audience, iconic.
God, you're old. I love it. Okay, M. Night Shyamalan. We talked about old earlier. There's something wrong with this beach. There's something wrong with this beach.
There's something wrong with this beach.
M. Night Shyamalan, who were them? One, two, three, them.
Them.
M. Night Shyamalan, who went from film darling to butt of a joke to misunderstood legend.
The reason why I think he's a them is because he really can continue to make movies based on his name being synonymous with a certain type of movie that people like to see, but it's not like his movies are necessarily good anymore or even critically reviewed or even necessarily that popular. They're always like middlingly popular.
I think he's a workhorse though. I think he makes a cheap, fast movie, right? A cheap, fast movie, and I think he is a good guy, and people like working with him, which is why he constantly gets good casts.
Right. You never hear bad things about M. Night Shyamalan. You just hear that his movies are disappointing in many ways. Although, I liked Split. I never saw the second one, but I liked the first one. Because I love James
McAvoy. Unbreakable. Gotta tell you,
I love Unbreakable. I think that his name sells a movie in a very specific way that not a lot of directors' names sell movies like the way his name sells a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, this guy made what is considered by many to be one of the worst movies of all time. Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Is that one of the worst movies of all time?
Yeah. And then guess what? He's still making movies after that. He's still making movies.
Right. I mean, he makes a good amount of terrible movies, but occasionally he makes ones that are fun.
You know what movie of his was like one of those, like a perfect bad good?
What?
The Visit. The one with Catherine Hahn. And like the old lady, like the kids who go to the grandma's house and it's like, don't leave your room after nine.
Movie.
Great.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Scary old lady. Yeah, scary old lady.
Scary old lady movie. Very Hansel and Gretel-y weird vibes of that movie. Anyways, yes. I mean, that movie probably cost $5, you know? Mm-hmm. Catherine Hahn asked for three of it, you know? Three of the five.
Anyway, M. Night Shyamalan, them.
And there's something wrong with this beach. If you want to know what's wrong with this beach, we'll reveal it in the Patreon.
We'll probably reveal it in the Patreon, yeah.
And then so you can pay to hear the spoiler.
Hi, this is Caroline. I'm sitting with my friends in Brooklyn, and we're debating what is the whoiest subway line. We think it might be the W. Thoughts?
Did someone say Brooklyn? Someone's sitting in Brooklyn.
I have an answer.
Okay.
You know what the hooiest train really is? The one that got canceled. The 9. The 9 doesn't even exist anymore. It was so hooey they canceled it fully off the map.
The 9 train. It's over. Yeah.
The 9 is dead. Okay.
The 9's never existed since I lived in New York.
Which is crazy because I rode the 9 in college all the time.
Yeah, no more.
Always on the 9.
Was it on the 1-2-3 line?
Yeah, it was the 1-2-3-9, which is crazy. It's red.
Are you kidding? It was the 1-2-3-9?
Yeah, it was red. It was red.
Where did it stop? Was it express?
No, it was quite local. Okay.
It was quite local.
Listen, okay. Listen. I think the whoiest train is the answer to this is not the W. I think okay. The answer is clear. It's the what? Fucking shuttle. It's the shuttle. It goes like two stops.
Well, there are two shuttles.
And it's gray, and nobody knows it, and it's the S.
There are two shuttles, though.
Well, and the T.
Which I think is what makes it so confusing.
The T is pretty hooey, too.
I was going to say the Z is the hooeyest, because the Z is like, every time you see the Z, you're like, it's the Z. No, I think you're right. The S is definitely the hooeyest. Shuttles.
It's the S and the T, which I've never even heard of existing. Have you ever taken the T?
I've never taken the T.
It's the new one. They just built it. It's the Second Avenue shuttle line, right? That's what they just built.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what they just spent a gajillion dollars on building. I got to go ride it, I guess.
I guess I got to get on the T. I don't take the T.
But anyways, the S, which is very useful, but for some reason, like, has the most random... I mean the shuttle in Brooklyn. The shuttle in Manhattan is pretty themmy because it goes from Times Square to...
But they're both S's, and I think that's what... It goes from Times Square to Grand Central Station. It just goes back and forth from Times Square to Grand Central Station.
Right. It's literally the AirTran of Manhattan.
The Brooklyn S, though, is one of my favorite trains. Which, again, will show you that who them... Not a value judgment. The S is the hooeyest train, and it's the best train.
No, I understand, but I just... But I do think it's hooey, because it's like... Some people don't even know that train exists.
Oh, it's a lifeline. It's a crucial train. I love the S. If you've never been on the S, go take the S. It's a beautiful train.
Where
it's three
are you
stops.
Supposed to tell them where to take the S to?
Pick it up at Franklin. Take it all the way to Prospect Park.
Okay.
We're done here. RIP to the 9 train. I cannot believe it was 1239. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Mm. We will see you next Tuesday with another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Support us on patreon.com/WHO Weekly for bonus episodes and extra content. And yeah, have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye. Hey.
Something wrong with this speech.
I almost feel bad because you're going to get so many calls about this, but no famous Bobbies? I don't think so, honey. We have Bobby Flay. We have Bobby Brown. Then we have Bobby with an eye brown, the makeup designer. We have Bobby Shmurda, Bobby Lee, Bobby Fischer, the chess player, Bobby Cannavale. Like, there are a lot of famous Bobbies. Bobby Baccalari, but that is the character name from The Sopranos. My bad. But there are a lot of famous Bobbies. I won't take this famous Bobby erasure. Crunch, crunch, flippin' Dorkin.
Hi, Weekly. Long time, long time. I was literally just about to fall asleep. But I could not remember who or if Teresa Palmer is a real person. Is she? Or is she in a David Lynch movie? She also sounds like maybe an actress. I don't know. I hope I don't have dreams about this. Anyway, crunch, crunch. Love you guys. Bye.
Hello, Lindsay and Bobby. Just calling because I am, listening to Tuesday's episode, and you're talking about the owl at the party, and it just reminded me of one night when I was out at a gay club, and a man decided to bring his pet bird with him to the club, and the whole time he was there, the bird was just sitting on his shoulder hanging out while he was, like, dancing and drinking and, like, you know, doing whatever you do at a bar, and everybody was, like, just weirdly into it because it was so awkward. I was just, like, concerned the whole time that the bird was going to, like, freak out from all the music and activity and stuff, but, I mean, the bird seemed chill, and he insisted the bird was chill. Anyway, living La Vida laptop.
Hi, Lizzie Bobby. Long time, long time. Who the fuck is Olivia Palermo? And why the fuck have I seen her everywhere this week? And it's only Monday. Thank you. Crunch, crunch.
Christy Carlson Romano gave $5,000 to whoever recognized her from Disney Channel. Crunch, crunch, grateful for Sharna.